Hey, everybody. Scott here. Welcome back to Verbal Shenanigans, and we have another awesome episode for you today. I want to tell you about two of the awesome sponsors we have on this show, and one of them happens to be Wolf Nation, W-U-L-F. That is Wake Up, Live Free Apparel. This is a new designer apparel company that is coming out with all sorts of things like leggings and sweatshirts and snapbacks and things for men, women, children. Dogs even. It's just great designer apparel. You got to go check them out. That is Wolf Nation. Again, go to wolfnation.rocks and get your pre-orders in today. Help support a local entrepreneur and a clothing company that is really about to take off. So that is Wake Up, Live Free. It is only a dream if you are not pursuing it. We're also brought to you by Trivia Revolution. Trivia Revolution is a trivia company based all out of the state of New Jersey in beer bars and breweries. Each week we play trivia located in just about the entire state if you just look us up. So there's no excuse to not go out. You could be the stupidest person in your group and still win. Okay, you could still win prizes, free prizes. There's a bonus item each week. And it's just a good night out. So go check out Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. All right. This week we are joined once again by one of our favorite guests that has been on the show twice before, and that is Marcelo Balboa. This is his third time, and he is, if you don't know Marcelo, he is a former U.S. soccer player, former MLS player, now does announcing for Univision, and he's just an awesome guy, gives us a lot of insight into U.S. soccer and a whole bunch of other things. One of my favorite guys to talk to, Marcelo Balboa. Enjoy the podcast.
Hey, this is Marcelo Balboa, former U.S. national team player. Don't forget to listen to Verbal Shenanigans every week and have a great time with these boys.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun. Yeah, I mean, our shenanigans are cruel and tragic. Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
All right, Mike Berlew, welcome to the show that revolutionized podcasting. The show that iTunes says is just like Bill Burr, Joe Rogan, and Mark Maron. The show that leads you down avenues and directions that you never saw coming. The one, the only, Verbal Shenanigans.
Hi.
Imagine we had an intro like that. Something I'd love to get, like a ring announcer to do an intro that we could put at the beginning of every episode. That'd be fun.
In a world where everybody needs comedy, one podcast fails at that.
In a world where two guys don't like to talk each other that much, so they load it up with guests. Two 100 episodes straight of other people. You want to get to know the co-host? Too bad.
Too bad.
Because this week we're talking to a Wolverine-bitten survivor from Kansas.
Yeah. Really bitten, really all the time.
Next week we're talking to an insurance adjuster from Wyoming.
What's it like when there's a... when there's a roof that gets a leak in Wyoming?
Later on.
To the excitement to Cheyenne.
They're talking to Joe Phillips, the man who owns the largest aquarium in Nebraska.
Tune in and awe as they talk to that guy who's in the back of the scene of Rocky IV.
Tune in as
he talks about what it's like to act like a Russian as being an extra in a very bad movie.
You may remember them from such interviews as Teletubby number 4 and, and Sharon Alexander. Oh, I'm sorry, Sharon. I'm sorry. I love you.
We love Sharon. Don't be doing that.
Anyway, everybody, welcome back. We're just kidding. We're selling our guests short. We're really just making fun of ourselves.
We do pretty good for ourselves. I mean, as much as we joke around, the variety's there. The names show up here from time to time. We do our job.
Today is different, buddy. Today is no different. We have a good one for you today. But anyway, welcome to...
We got big guests today. We have insert name right here. That's the editing point.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. I feel like the editing point is anytime you talk.
Mm. Well, it doesn't matter because every time you say, all right, I'm going to edit this out, I got to text you, bro.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I definitely. There's been a million times I'll be like, sometimes I'll go check the final version, or I'll hear it playing sometimes when it plays out, and it's like, editing point here. And it it was just never cut out.
Scott, that was kind of racist. No worries. I'll cut this out in a minute.
But anyway, welcome back to Verbal Shenanigans, everybody. I hope you enjoyed our Halloween episode. Two episodes. Mm-hmm. That was not planned. It just, you know, sometimes we just get a lot of content and it's going to go out. So both Halloween episodes up to listen to. One was a game, Burlu, where you made it out of hell. And
no spoilers, dude.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well,
editing point.
You know what? find out how. And then we had Father Sebastian. You guys just got to hear that one to really get that. And then we had Alex Vincent from Child's Play. So another year goes by, jam-packed Halloween specials. So get ready for Christmas.
Yep. Thanksgiving can screw itself.
Yeah. Well, we can't do Halloween and Thanksgiving special. What do you think? I am creative or something? Like, come on. Like,
that I know you are not.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take me. I mean, I basically got to start working on the Christmas game now.
Pretty much.
But anyway, I guess before we get to our guests, I had the pleasure, Mike Burlu, the absolute pleasure of watching our two powerhouse football teams battle each other in an epic showdown.
Oh, since I forgot to call you, Scott. Dame! 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 Ugh. Ugh. Game.
Yeah, I don't.
Game.
And no one knows what you're talking about besides our loyal listener. But yes, Mike is a diehard Redskin fan, and I am a Giant fan. I got with my buddy Kevin, who is a Redskin fan also. And in August, he's like, "Oh, I got free tickets. You want to go?" I'm like, "Absolutely. The game will probably mean something this year."
Wah, wah, wah.
And the Giants roll to a quick 1-7 record. But this is where they turn around, Burlu. This is where they go, nine and seven.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually a wild card spot. So, 8 in a row.
Yeah.
Eli's going to get his scrambling ability back.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to look at some videos of like Michael Vick and Randall Cunningham and Dak Prescott. And he'd be like,
yeah.
I could do that. So, The one leg goes in front of the other, and apparently you make a thing called speed, and this works.
Yeah, it's going to be really easy to do that without Snacks Harrison anymore, too. It would be no problem.
Yeah. The key to a good football team is saying offensive lines are optional.
Yeah, and then also we'll take one of the best run stoppers in football and trade him for a fifth-round pick, which
that's the powerhouse round, Scott. That's the bonus round. That's when you get extra good people. Yeah.
But I don't want to bore everyone with sports talk, but Giant Stadium was a miserable, miserable place. It was basically like a morgue. There were surprisingly not a ton of Redskin fans. I mean, of course, they show, but I really thought it was going to be like a big chunk just because of how bad the Giants were. But even the Redskins fans, it's weird era going on with them too. They're all mad at the Redskins ownership and things like that, and they're having problems selling the arena out. So it's a weird fan base is going on both these teams.
Well, what happened with Washington was they had a great owner in Jack Kent Cook. I mean, that was the name of the stadium they played at for a while. You know, he got good teams in there. He was the one that got Joe Gibbs in there. When Joe Gibbs said, "I think we need this and that," he went out and got it, and he didn't interfere. And the waiting list for the seasonal tickets were insane. I remember signing up at 17 years old, and I got an email, I think it was last year, saying, "Hey, you finally came up on the list for season tickets to the Washington Redskins." That's how far they went. I mean, they had the longest record for consecutive sellouts. Fast forward to our friend Dan Snyder, who is Jerry Jones light, as in I'm going to be just as cocky as him, but not make the decisions to say actually get a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
And it just basically tears up the fan base. I mean, a lot of weird decisions, the Jim Zorn years, the Steve Spurrier years.
A lot of mediocrity, too. A lot of 8-8 footballs, a lot of just meh.
And a lot of let me go fantasy football shopping and get the biggest names that never pan out in the city.
Yeah.
And eventually it got to the fans. I mean, they never showed any signs. And the few times they would make the playoffs, they could never get into the second round. I don't think we've won a playoff game in this century. I think the last time we won a playoff game was 99. Jeez. So it just got to the point where people were sick of it. I mean, the ticket prices were still up.
Yep.
And then in the end, the stadiums aren't slowly going down. And we're somewhat like the L.A. teams where in Oakland, where it's pretty much a road game when you have a home game.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Washington plays well at home, mainly because it, for what I have heard from other players, it is the worst field to play on. It basically became what the Vets AstroTurf was thought of by now. And when it gets mucky, it's very muddy, guys are afraid of tearing something, so they kind of have an advantage at that point. But in total, the Redskins base has kind of died off. And then add to it all the people who are like, oh, that's offensive. You got to change your name.
That press doesn't help after a while.
Places don't even call them the Redskins anymore. They call them Washington when they come up.
Yeah. Well, you could sense it in the fans there. Obviously, the Giants fans were miserable. But even the Redskins fans, just very sarcastic. you guys looked atrocious on, the offense. It was the show of like the two worst offenses I've ever seen. It was one of the most boring sporting events I've been to. But the tailgate was interesting. So we set up our tailgate. My buddy Kevin planned this whole tailgate with wings and hot dogs, and he was going to make naan pizzas and a lot of good stuff. And I drove. I took the truck, and we unpack everything. We unpack his grill, and sure enough, no propane. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, well, we're at the Giants tailgate. There's 8 bazillion people. Someone here has got to have propane, and we could throw them $10 or something like that or whatever. And sure enough, the first guy I go to, I'm like, hey, I'm like my dumb Redskin fan. You got to break the ice and kind of, you have to have a scapegoat, So I'm like, yeah, he forgot propane. I just wanted by any chance, do you have extra propane? We'll buy it off you or whatever. And he's like, well, sure. He's like, so it's for a Redskin fan, huh? I'm like, yeah, well, and me. And he's like, yeah, well, if it was a Giant fan, it would be free. Or if you could get him to take the jersey off, we'd give it to you for free. And I was like, well, that's not going to happen. So what do you want for it? So I buy it for $10 and I come back all happy, like, yeah, baby, we're in business, And then sure enough, he didn't bring the piece that attaches from the propane tank to the grill. So there we were for another half hour with no food, all this food and the inability to cook it. So I start eyeing up different tailgates, and I'm eyeing up people. I'm judging everybody by the cover. I'm looking at them like, that guy looks mean, or they look way too into their tailgate. Like, they're not going to want to. Because the next thought was like, hey, maybe someone could, like, after they're done grilling, we could throw our stuff on, and, like, just give them the propane tank. Like, here you go. Like, we just want to cook our stuff. So I look next to us, and there's two – it's just like a dad and a son, and they got a grill. And they're, like, grilling clams and oysters, and I noticed they don't have much going on. I'm like, this is our target. So I go and ask them, real nice guys. Not your typical football fans, though. One guy was, like – he looked like he went to a bunch of, like, Grateful Dead and Fish concerts, and he, like, even had, like, water bottle with fish on it and real – like Anaheim Mighty Ducks hat on. And then his dad looked like almost like Captain Wild Bill when we interviewed him, but like real scraggly and hairy and paint all over it, like a Giants jacket from like 1972. But apparently they come to every game, but it was really weird, totally atypical sports fan. Like you would not picked them out. But sure enough, I asked them, and we were able to grill on their grill, and they didn't really care. So everything was saved. But it was like a game of like Oregon Trail. Like I had to like barter this for that, and then get this to that. Like how do we get? And we did it in steps. So I'm like, all right, well, let's start with the wings because they're already like he like pre cooked them a little bit, you know. And like season, so I was like, we'll start with that, so we won't be long, and then we could segue on it to the hot dogs, and then we're gonna have to abandon the non pizzas because that's just asking a lot. Like once you start throwing full pizzas on the grill, you're taking up all the real estate on the grill. So it was interesting, but I was able to save the day, and then and then Kevin gets loaded at the game. Redskins win, and he's dancing basically the whole time on the way out of the stadium, making running around. But the best is he slips, and everybody he slips, but gets into a position where he doesn't completely fall. And somewhere in his drunken mind, he thought like air humping the ground was the move to make at that that moment. Oh. Like it was funny, and everybody's just chanting asshole as he's air humping. It was a beautiful moment. And I'm sitting there just like, oh, God, like trying to keep my distance away from him. But we got home safe and sound.
So you know how good the game is when you talk about for 15 minutes and 13 of them is about grilling and dry humping the ground.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But everything worked out. It was okay. I saw Kevin Goatee, who's been on the show before, there he was there too, being miserable and hating it. But let's get someone on the line who's not miserable about sports. He might be miserable about the U.S.'s recent performance, but I think it's guest time.
All right,
it is time to get. We're gonna have one of our all time favorite guests back on the show. I believe this is his third time.
Is it me?
No. I said all-time favorite. I don't know if you heard me. I didn't say least.
I thought you were leaning towards extra favorite. But continue.
Extra favorite. Is that what you think you are? Is that what you feel like you are?
No, it's what I know. I mean, that's why I've been the guest since episode 25. Yeah.
You know? I mean, I have read all the reviews on iTunes, and everyone's like, our extra favorite guest is that guy, Mike. Like, he's our extra favorite. No, but one of our favorites that we also had the pleasure of meeting a couple years ago, okay, at a Red Bull game. Former U.S. soccer player, former played in the MLS, Rapids, Galaxy, stuff like that. Marcelo Balboa will be joining us back on the show again, and excited to pick his brain a little bit about the state of U.S. soccer. So, an interesting place U.S. soccer is in at the moment. So,
no doubt.
Let's give him a call. What beautiful state are we calling you in this time?
Colorado.
All right. Well, one day you're in San Diego, then you're in Colorado, and the beautiful state of New Jersey.
You count me before I leave. I go to Dallas on Wednesday for the knockout game, and then Thursday I fly from Dallas to L.A. to do the L.A. game. Then I fly home Friday for the day, and then I leave with my U14s to the MLS showcase.
Wow.
So got me on the right day.
So we literally caught you in the right, like, the right couple hours that you have home.
Basically, what you're saying, Marcelo, is you're very, very bored right now. Is that what you're telling us?
Well, let's see. I raked my leaves in the front yard. I cut them up. So, I was pretty bored today. I blew out my sprinklers. Not a typical day.
That's actually what we called the interview about, just yard work. We've changed the direction of the podcast since you've been on last time. We just interview interesting guests about their yard work preferences. So, Marcelo, it's probably, I'd say it's been about a year or so since we talked to you last. And obviously a lot's happened in U.S. soccer in that time period.
Not really. We still don't have a coach.
Well, that's one thing I definitely want to get to in a second. But we got to start a couple months back, not making the World Cup. How was that for you watching the World Cup and not having our guys in there? Like, I mean, you as a player who played with the team and has been around the team and been around, you know, United States soccer, both MLS and nationally, what was that like for you?
You know what? It was, I think it would have been easier. Not much easier, but it would have been easier if I was watching it from home.
Okay.
Being there with Univision, being in the stadium, watching the training leading up to it, watching the U.S. not play well and not qualify and being there on that day, hurt even more because you saw a team that just kind of went more to individual play than team play.
For sure.
it was frustrating because watching Bruce Arena play the exact same team that played 3 days ago.
Yep.
That was tired. And that was, you know, a lot of guys don't bounce back in 3 days. You had a lot of fresh bodies sitting on the bench that you didn't use. So for me, it was very frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, watching that Trinidad game, you felt it. You felt what was going to happen. Like, you know, just the play on the field, the energy from Trinidad, just the way, like, the updates were going on during the game of all the other games, that everything was breaking perfectly for everyone else besides the U.S. It's like you almost felt what was coming. And you can go back to lineup, and you can go back to coaching. And it's like, to me, no matter what 11 we had out there, I feel like, you know, somehow with all that on the line, just a win or a tie had to be necessary. Like, it was amazing that they couldn't find it.
No, but listen, the day before with the rainstorm, guys being carried across the track because they didn't want to get their feet wet or their shoes wet before they walked out into a wet field before they trained. You know, it was just, it was very, it was interesting to watch the build up, you know, all the talk about is the field going to drain in time. The field was great. Just the grass was thick.
Yeah.
I think more than anything, as you saw, and I think Lexi hit it on the head 3-4 weeks before they played that game. You know what I mean? I think that, I just don't think they went with, I thought like everything else, they thought they were going to walk out of there, just going to roll over a second team from Trinidad.
Yep.
That's kind of what it felt like. Overconfident. A team that knew they were going to win because no matter what Trinidad put out there, you know, we had better players on the field. And that's the beauty of soccer. That's the beauty of CONCACAF. It's gotten so much better.
Absolutely.
It's gotten so competitive. And on any given day, on any surface, anybody can beat anybody. And I think that was a huge, huge lesson to a lot of those guys who are in that past cycle that will no longer be in this new cycle with these young players.
Yep.
Just because, you know what, watching these younger players now that over this past year, you can see the pride they take in wearing that jersey. You know what I mean? That excitement of putting it on, just like we all did when we started.
Yep.
So I think there was, I still think there was a mistake when they brought in, when they got rid of Jurgen and brought in Bruce, the guy that was more of an old school coach instead of maybe a younger version of the coaches that were there already. The Tab Ramos could have taken over. He's been there with Jurgen. He knows this team. He's had these players. So I think he just got into that cycle of, you know, now that Bruce took over, we're going to qualify. Well, that's not the way it works.
So what's your overall thoughts on the team itself? Do you feel we got a little too soft nowadays, or do you feel just now getting new coaching in there that we're on the right track?
Listen, let's be honest. We couldn't do any worse than what we did, right? We didn't qualify for the World Cup. So I think that sometimes you've got to take a step backwards, take two steps forward.
Yeah.
If we would have qualified for that World Cup, we would have not seen the Tim Weahs. We wouldn't have seen the Josh Sargents. We wouldn't have seen those guys, because this year would have been a farewell for Dempsey and for a lot of these guys who are no longer were going to play.
Right.
So sometimes that step backward hurts. It hurt tremendously because this is the biggest screw-up that we've had in qualifying, not qualifying for the Russia World Cup. That's huge. Everybody's going to remember this last group because they did not qualify for the World Cup. So, again, we took a step backwards. Now we're looking at a younger generation We're looking at some fantastic,
very young,
fantastic young players that have so much potential, from Tim Weah
to Love Weston Weah.
McKinney. Yeah, Josh Sargent.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many of these young guys. Matt Miazga, Cameron Carter-Vickers. Robinson still has a lot to learn, you know, but, you know, the last two games he didn't play well, but this is a kid you can see the future in there. You saw Sweat play. I think we're getting finally able to see a lot of these young guys. Plus, you're mixing in some of the veterans. They brought in Bradley. Yep. They brought in John Brooks. They brought in Greg Zahn. So it's going to be a good mix. I still think we're going to see Darlington Nagbe. You know, I still think you're going to see Josie Altidore.
Yep.
But you're starting to see a lot of these younger players that wouldn't have gotten a chance a year ago.
Now, give us a peek behind the curtain among, like, you know, you guys, the older U.S. soccer players. You guys have, you know, is it like a brotherhood when you're watching this? Is everyone texting each other like, oh, my God, can you believe what's going on? What is the reaction from the quote-unquote old guard? Are you guys all in it together, or do you, or is it just like,
oh, you know? No, we all live and breathe it. Let's be honest.
Right.
We don't need to text each other. You hear Lexi on TV, how Lexi went after the guys because of their attitude and their contracts. And you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of guys. What I don't, here's the deal I don't like. If you don't qualify, I get it. But don't be that guy. Like, I respect Lexi.
Yep.
And I've always respected Lexi. But I respect Lexi. You know why? Because Lexi went out on a limb.
Right.
Lexi came out 3 weeks before those qualifiers and talked about the attitude and their contract.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that whole speech he gave on Fox,
tattoo,
right?
Tattoo, yeah.
Totally respect that. Totally respect that. They don't qualify, and then a few players start coming out, and I'm not going to mention names. A few players come out and start throwing Bruce Arena and how it wasn't, you know, this, and they threw Jurgen under the bus, and they threw Bruce Arena under the bus, and that's why the reason we didn't qualify is because you guys, that team, did not do their job. The coach wasn't on the field.
Mm-hmm.
The coach can't make you run. The coach can't make you walk. The coach can't make the run for you.
Yeah.
The guys that were on the field have to take responsibility. That's all. Bruce Arena took responsibility. The players have to take responsibility. You can't keep blaming the coach. We didn't qualify as a coach. That's BS.
Yeah, I mean,
so I respect Lexi because he came out.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, like you said, it couldn't get much worse, and it has opened the door to finally see all the kids getting as much time, you know, a lot of valuable time here in these last two times. And I'm selfishly rooting for Sargent just to see a ginger score goals. Like, I'm a fella. But,
because you're tired of seeing a ginger at center back.
Yeah, we're always stuck in the back. But no, the kids are exciting. But that leads me to what you touched on right at the beginning. We still do not have a coach in what arguably can be seen as almost a more important time as we're developing these kids and getting them to play together and starting to learn how to play with each other and who's what. What's the holdup? What do you think's going on here?
I don't think there's a holdup anymore.
No.
You know, but I think what's strange for me is that I've been around U.S. soccer. I work with Univision. I get to do the national team games. What was weird for me is they didn't hire a coach after Bruce Arena and that coaching staff.
Nope.
Didn't qualify, right?
Right.
So then they said, well, we're going to let Dave Sarrigan take the group.
Mm-hmm.
Great. But Dave Sarrigan was part of the failure of U.S. soccer.
It's true.
Right? If you're going to take a chance, why wouldn't you have taken a chance on Tab Ramos, who coached most of these kids under 20, who have scouted them, who have seen them play since their academy days?
Yep.
Tab knew all of these. What are you losing by putting Tab in that place? If Tab doesn't do a good enough job, all you do is take Tab back, you put him as the technical director as the youth, what he was doing then, and you go hire yourself a coach. That's one.
Yep.
Number two, they told us that they were waiting, and they were waiting, you know, to see what coaches were available after the World Cup. Great. Now already Stewart and U.S. Soccer has come out and basically said the guy has to speak English, and all the criteria he gave us has basically made it sound like it was an American coach. So now, instead of hiring a coach last year, if it was going to be Oscar Pereja or Peter Vermes or Ted Ramos or Greg Berhalter, they could have been a year ago in process of getting the job in January.
Yep.
They could have put this guy, they could have put everybody in place, right? They could have put his system in place. He could start looking at players. we'd be 8 months into a new
regime,
a new system, a new procedure, new protocol we would be under, correct?
Yeah.
That's where we would be. Now we're a year behind. I don't know any other country that has gone almost November 17th was a year, will be a year since Bruce Arena left.
Wow.
We still do not have a coach. Can you imagine Argentina going a year or Mexico or Brazil without naming a head coach?
It's been like 10 games or something, too, right? Like, it's something like that.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot. I was hoping Jesse Marsh could be pried away. That's who I was hoping. But
I don't think so. I don't think he's ready yet.
No.
You know what I mean? I think he's doing it right.
Yeah,
I think he's
Dortmund, yeah.
Because remember, he's still got to go there. He's an assistant coach.
Yep.
If he ever gets the head coaching job there. You know, I go back and say, when you take over the U.S. national team.
Yes.
This is the U.S. national team. It's not just given to anybody.
No.
You've got to be successful. You've got to have a proven record. You see, listen, anybody, any American coach, Bruce Arena has qualified this team and has got us out of the group. Every coach has qualified us and got us out of the group play and lost in the next round, except for Bruce Arena. We need to stop looking at this and saying, okay, because he's an American, he deserves a job. No, Peter Vermes deserves the job. You know why?
Yeah.
Peter Vermes is a winner in MLS. Peter has won U.S. Open Cups. Peter has won MLS Cups. Ramos was the assistant of a World Cup team. He has that experience of going through qualifying in CONCACAF. Oscar Pareja has won U.S. Open Cups. Guys, you have to, for me, you have to have a proven winning record to take. This is an honor and a half to coach the U.S. national team.
Yeah, you could say that.
Do you see?
I mean, it's not just a job that because you played for the U.S. team, you deserve the job. So I played for the U.S. team. I deserve to maybe be a coach. No, that's not the way it works. I've got to prove that I can win at an MLS level, at a European level. Bob Bradley has proved it. He left. He went all over the place. It was unfortunate what happened in England.
Yeah.
But he's gone, and he's proven himself that he can coach in different countries. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is the next coach of the national team. This guy has to have more than just I made the playoffs in MLS. That's not good enough.
Mm.
I don't think.
Do you see there going to be any kind of large leaps and bounds for the Qatar? Is there some way you're thinking we're almost sitting back weighing on our morals until it comes to North America, the next World Cup?
No, I don't. You know what? I think right now, next World Cup will qualify. I'm not even concerned about that because of this new generation. And when you mix this new generation with the older veterans from the last generation, I think it's a strong team because you look at the majority of the players that are playing in Europe, they're getting that experience, that are starting to look at Josh Sargent's already, what, 6 goals in 10 games.
Yep.
And they're already looking at bringing him up to the first team. Weston McKennie playing in Champions League. You have guys, Tim Weah
at PSG.
You know, but he's getting quality games. He's been so, you know, I have a hard time believing that this group will not qualify for the next World Cup. They learned their lesson. The younger boys, this next group of generations, they've seen the failure, and they don't want to do that. So this is a hungry group coming up.
Now, you've been around – you're obviously around the youth, you know, 14s, I think you said, under 14s. And
14s and U19s for the rest.
Oh, okay. So you get both. So
– yeah.
So what are you seeing as far as change in development, as far as – are we seeing any aftershock going into – your kids now, and in the MLS, is there any change coming that you see very positive going forward now? Because like I coach a high school, and we lose a good amount of kids to academy, a couple to the Red Bulls.
Yeah.
We have one NYFC kid. What are you seeing any change on your level?
I think the change now is the fact that a lot of the MLS teams are having their USL pro teams in-house.
Yep.
You know, like Kansas City and Swoop, they're right there. So the 19s have an opportunity to play and to get developed at a higher level. Next year, the Rapids are looking into having a USL team in Colorado that's close to Colorado, so you can have your players up and back, and you can keep an eye on them, and you can develop them. My 19, some of them will get an opportunity to play in the USL, and I think that's the way we're going to develop them. Mm-hmm. You know, sending them to college, I think, is a great option for some kids that aren't ready. But there are kids ready that you have to sign a homegrown contract and give them, instead of really 4 months of playing college soccer and then spring season, you're putting them in a professional environment for 9 months, 10 months. That's different than playing 4 months in college. You know, I mean, you go August, September, October, November, and you're pretty much done. Then you go to spring season and you play a few games.
Right.
That doesn't really prepare you, I don't think, yet for MLS. So I think having the change of having these younger 19-year-olds being able to play at a USL pro level is huge.
Well, let me talk to you about the coverage of MLS, because kind of a funny thing, like I always enjoyed going to the Philadelphia Union games. I was lucky enough to go to Yankee Stadium for one of their games. But as a huge Philadelphia fan, I always noticed when I listen to like the radio, I always consider Philadelphia one of the better sports towns, but it almost felt like if they brought up the Union, it would just be as like a punchline, like, oh man, the Flyers aren't doing good, the Sixers aren't doing good, I guess we can watch the Union, ha ha ha. Then I moved down here to Georgia, and it's night and day. I mean, the 92.9, they're interviewing the players, they're interviewing the executives, they're selling out a 70,000 stadium easily, and the whole city is just wall to wall. I can see any Target I go into, I can get Atlanta United gear or something like that. Is there something that the league is looking at, seeing like this huge jump? I mean, initially, like when you see the numbers in Seattle and Portland, and now the crazy numbers in Atlanta, are they looking into this where they're saying we have to try to bring this to the other cities, or is it almost sent back like, well, we hit a niche market, but it may not be able to transport over to some other cities?
You know, I don't think you can clone anything and say, oh, Atlanta's doing this. Let's just be straight up and honest. Atlanta has put the resources behind what they're trying to do. They went out and got Martino. They went out and got Almiron. They got Martinez. They went out and spent a lot of money on some very, very good players. Imagine picking up that team and putting it in Philadelphia. What's going to happen there?
Fights in the stands.
Pick up that team with the way they play, and you drop them in Columbus, or you drop them in anywhere. You know what I mean? You can't. I think you'll have to separate that team, because they separated themselves, just like Toronto with the money they spent. Seattle, the money they spent on players. And look at the well they've done without Jordan Morris yet. And that's still a weapon that's still waiting to come back. So I think, again, there's a few models in MLS of how you're gonna build your franchise. Atlanta decided that they were going to spend it, make it an attractive place to go watch soccer. They were going to bring attractive Latin-style players, and people flock to it like there's no tomorrow. You know, big international city, big international airport, a lot of different cultures. It's different than a Sporting Kansas City. And Sporting Kansas City, for the smaller market, they've done probably one of the best jobs in that stadium with their atmosphere. So, you know, I think MLS now is very, very calculated on where they're going. Listen, look what Cincinnati FC's been doing, or FC Cincinnati's been doing. Now they'll get a franchise. You can see that with the USL, you can kind of see what's being built and what's being already developed. And now they get an MLS franchise. That place is going to be fantastic. That place is going to rock in like there's no tomorrow. Miami, you know, they've been waiting for so long. Nashville, they've been waiting for so long. So I think Nashville is a great place. I think that you're going to see Nashville in their stadium. They're going to draw. They're going to put, I think, 27,000 people. It's only, I think, a mile and a half from downtown and the fairgrounds. So I think the model is now, if you can build a stadium, you have to build it in downtown where there's, you can go to soccer, you can go to downtown. There's more options to do instead of driving, you know, to Foxborough. for instance, they're looking at a stadium too. So everybody, you know what I mean? I think when you can build it in downtown and close to downtown, then it's going to be successful.
Now, before you go, let me ask you something, I guess, outside of soccer. I've been following you on Instagram, and you've been bombarding us with positive messages and a lot of positivity. What's going on over there? Are we having a moment, or is this just what we don't know about you?
No, here's the deal with me. I've always been the guy who keeps my mouth shut.
Yep.
I've always been the guy who is politically correct, and I just let the other guys. You know, we've always had spokespersons that went all the Lexi, you know, the John Hart. You know, they're the ones that always throw out their opinions, and I've always kept to myself. Mm-hmm. So I've learned that after a while, you keep things to yourself for a while. You start building this internal kind of negative thinking.
Right.
And so I decided to let it out. I decided to just start being who I really am and saying what I really feel. Without disrespecting anybody.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I've had a lot of things in my life over the last month or so that, you know, be it with my best friend with Fernando Clavijo, the cancer, the fight that he's going through with cancer. A lot of little different things in life that have just kind of gone wrong over the last month or so.
Uh-huh.
And I've just realized, you know, I'm just going to be who I am.
That's great. No, I like it. I just wasn't sure if you were joining the priesthood and you didn't tell us.
No priesthood. I'm going to experience life. If you see the Instagram, I went hiking the other day at 6 o'clock in the morning in the dark.
I did.
With my head, and I thought to myself, "Right, this probably isn't a smart move because there's bears, there's mountain lions, there's cougars up there." So if you guys have not seen me post for 3 or 4 days, there's probably a chance. I'm sitting in a tree with a bear right now, you know?
Now, also, before we go, last we talked, you were talking how in your men's league that you were playing, you know, you were playing striker and just lighting it up. Are you still that number 9 on your team, or have you fallen back to the back line again?
I dropped back to the 8 now. because we picked up this English guy, Clem, who is lightning fast for being 50. So I thought to myself, you know, every few games I pull a hamstring because I'm not used to sprinting. I thought to myself, why am I going to make that effort and pull a hamstring every few games? I can feed him the ball, let him run, and I don't have to sprint. So I play at the feet now.
He's starting to sound like he can fit back in with my former company soccer team now. And all. That sounds like our plan. And all. Unfortunately, we were all 8s where we just all sat back and said, we're not going to pull a hamstring and we lose by 30.
There you go. I can't live to walk another day. That's my motto now.
I know you're doing commentary. You probably can't predict, but any game or are you excited about coming with this MLS playoffs? Can we see any shocks coming up in your opinion?
I don't know. You know, I've got, for Univision, I've got Dallas and Portland. And then I've got on Thursday, I have LAFC and Real Salt Lake, you know?
Yep.
I would think right now, and only because Dallas has lost the last 3, they played a full team. They played a full team on Sunday here against the Rapids. Portland did not. Portland played a lot of the reserve guys. They'll be rested. I have a feeling we're going to see maybe a little bit of an upset there with Portland, and only because Dallas has been struggling of late. NYC's healthy. That makes me a little nervous. They can make a nice run. For me, the interesting one is the Supporters Shield winner. We've seen the Supporters Shield winner every year get knocked out of the first round and not make it into the MLS Cup final. So I'd be interested to see what the New York Red Bulls do. Atlanta's still my favorite, but I don't know now with all the distractions they have with the rumor of Tata Martino signing with Mexico in December, Almiron leaving, I believe, to go to Spain or to England, one of the two. So, you know, I don't know. I think this is the first year I can honestly say, I mean, if I was to stick to my guns, I still have Seattle or Sporting Kansas City from the West. and I have Atlanta or the Red Bulls in the final.
Let's go.
I don't. He's upset.
Awesome.
So again, Philly, like Allen won.
I know it hurts. Okay. With your Philly, I know it hurts. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I like hearing the Red Bulls. That's what I like. His Philly don't. He doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, just them making the playoffs. I mean, it's a heck of an accomplishment. But they got to get that whole second round thing figured out.
You
know? Yeah. Now, we're from Philadelphia. Came. We played them here at home. They were awful at the beginning of the year, and to see them grow and how they've grown and how they're playing now. Listen, again, there's always one surprise. There's always one team that shocks somebody to get to a Western or an Eastern Conference final. Will it be Philadelphia this year? Can it be Real Salt Lake at L.A.? You know, something's going to happen.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Marcelo, I want to thank you so much for once again giving us the time. We really do love checking in with you and picking your brain a little bit about the state of soccer in the United States, and also just checking in how you're doing. So, you know, don't go get killed by a mountain lion or anything like that before the next time we talk.
But it was worth it, wasn't it? Did you see the pictures of the sunrise?
I'm actually looking at it right now because you brought it up, and I wanted to. Yeah, it looks pretty awesome.
It was worth the hike. I've done it twice now, two different hikes, and I've gotten up there without getting eaten to see the sunrise. So the next one you're going to see, my next adventure is trying to find a place in Colorado that I can climb that I can see the sun set.
All right.
I have to make it back to the park. So we'll see.
Famous last words. No. Dude, yeah, so thanks so much for giving us your time, man. We really appreciate it, and good luck with all the – it sounds like you got a lot of stuff coming up, so good luck with it all, and keep the positivity flowing. I like it.
I appreciate it, bud. You guys have a good one. Thank you.
All right, take care, bud.
Thanks.
Oh, I love that guy, man.
He's so awesome and laid back, and it's great conversation.
I like to think, like, I was trying to, you know, of what, like, it must be like to be a former U.S. player and watching that debacle of them not making the World Cup. It has to be painful, man.
Yeah, I mean, just in your head, you're like figure out that time, soccer, for lack of a better term, it's nothing in the United States. You work your tail off. You get to the first World Cup where nobody cared because – nobody cared. Then you go to the 96 one where it comes home and you're like, I'm finally building the sport I love. I finally built a league in our country that has grown to what it is right now. And then just to watch as almost ego, you can say, is the reason how we didn't even make couldn't even make it to the damn cup, let alone
the dance.
Win something. So.
And soccer is so big in the United States right now. It's so big. Now, I'm not even just talking like, you know, MLS, but just the global aspect of the game, like I tell you, I watch the Premier League it's my thing on the weekends. I watch it more than I watch football now. I mean, the Giants don't help that cause, but it's globally, like I'm working with kids, they know the big players, the big teams, they know the transfer market. They're you know, being able to watch the games now and have it on your phones, and they know everything, and FIFA, and you know, soccer is huge in the United States, and so many kids play it. This was such a kick in the stomach, the U.S. not making this cup, and hopefully it is what changes them and like, you know, rock bottom.
Yeah, I guess the best thing to say, the fact that people are pissed off is the best thing to happen. Because, again, if we're talking about 92, we didn't miss the World Cup. Whatever. Play your little silly European game. I don't care at all. But now, like you kind of say, like soccer on like ESPN, or now it's on
NBC Sports, Fox has the Champions League. It's like on four networks at a time now.
Yeah, and my point is more, they are bragging they have it. Before, it's like, let's put it on ESPN4. Let's put it on Fox Sports 2. It's like, we got to fill that 3 a.m. slot. Nobody cares. Now they're just flat out saying, hey, everybody, 7 a.m., wake up.
Yep.
We got the big matchup. We got Liverpool. We got Arsenal. And it's a big deal. And it's a really exciting thing.
And the coverage is phenomenal. Like, the Premier League coverage, you could follow it like any other league in this country. Like, you could follow English soccer like it's happening in your backyard. They have pregame show, postgame, all the, you know, if your team's not on, you could stream it online. Like, they have all the games mm-hmm. through NBC. So, like, you can follow any team, and especially like the big teams, the big five yeah. or six. Like, you can pretty much catch their games every single week. I can't think of a Liverpool game I haven't been able to watch in years if I really look for it. So it's yeah. it, very exciting time. And the little team, the Atlantas, the Sounders, the Portlands, the everything. It's so cool. It's really cool to see the sport growing and growing and growing and growing.
I see Instagrams from. Steve, and I mean, you have no idea how huge it is down here with the Atlanta United. I mean, it's literally, they are the equivalent to the Falcons or the Braves.
Well, you know what we got to do when we come down and visit? We got to go check out a game.
Oh, definitely. I was going to go a game, but I was going to go with a buddy, but he had to pull out. He lives in Chicago. He's going to come down for the Fire matchup, but that failed out, but that's on my bucket list. I have to go because all the pictures I see, that entire stadium is rocking. And that's something you don't even see over in the European side, which is exciting. Like a crowd like that. I mean, they're breaking records that were held by the biggest leagues possible, by World Cup qualifiers, by two countries in a friendly where it was unheard of many years ago.
People want it, man. They want it. And it's fun to support a new, you know, it's a fun to support something new and that everyone can kind of be united about quickly. Like, you know, something new comes to your town. You're like, hey, we can all root for this team together now. It's pretty cool. You know, it's like, it's a fun thing to get behind. And at the beginning, what's better than starting with the team? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I started the year they came. Like, that's pretty, you know, it's a pretty fun experience. Like, I can't say that about any of my, you know, any of my pro sports teams. I mean, I guess you could say the Red Bulls, but I don't follow them passionately like I do Liverpool, the Giants, or the Mets, or something like that.
Well, the key is them building them soccer-only stadiums. I remember going to a MetroStar game in Giant Stadium.
Me too.
And it's an enjoyable atmosphere, but at the same time, you look at...
It's cavernous.
80% of the stadium is empty, and you can tell it's like this is a natural field for soccer. You can tell something's off. Whereas when they went to Philadelphia, and I'm looking forward to Atlanta, they're chanting the entire time. They're, you know, they're throwing streamers on the field to start the game, and everybody's, it's an atmosphere, and that's something to say. On a side note, I kind of feel bad as we're taping this. That's such a shame. The owner of Leicester City, died in a helicopter accident. I mean, after how they pulled off the miracle upon miracles to win the league, what was it, last year or the year before?
It was 3 ago. So last year.
3 ago?
Yeah, last year was Man City. Before that was Chelsea. And then Leicester was that year before.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's a shame he won. I mean, I guess he could die happy knowing the miracle upon miracles happened for him, but it's just a goddamn shame.
Yeah, totally. All right, Berto, rocking and rolling with the guests as per usual, if I don't say so ourselves.
Yeah, I'll pat myself on the back, you know, for being on the phone for this. So.
Are you actually patting yourself on the back?
I am. I mean, it feels good. I feel like a winner. I am.
How far
person.
Can you get on your back? I can get like over the top though. You can't go on the bottom. I could get like between my shoulder blades and a little further than that.
Yeah, I would say about that area. If I could turn the camera in, I want to judge who can go further. Because I mean, that's the best kind of entertainment on the. On a verbal podcast, you know, visual items.
Yeah. But, the one and only Marcelo Balboa. I love him. But what do you got?
I had an interesting little event that occurred. Me and Izzy went out Sunday for breakfast at McDonald's. And we're...
Classy.
Well, I mean, we were going to go to IHOP for... pumpkin spice, whatever. And I guess breakfast is uber huge in Georgia or the South, because every freaking restaurant was people waiting outside, 45-minute waits. Like,
what was the average? What was the average wait of those people?
Well, I said like the IHOP, I think it was like 30 minutes.
No, I mean the average wait of the people waiting.
they were normal size. I mean,
really?
All the time I had, nobody was out of the blue. Oh my God, she's going to have her foot removed because of diabetes, fat.
Oh, okay.
They were just, it was just a, I don't know if it's just a thing in Georgia. Everybody goes out for breakfast.
I like the subtlety you presented that case with. She wasn't, oh my God, she's going to lose her foot to diabetes, fat.
Well, I'm trying to get the visual in people's head of what a really fat person has to go through on a regular basis, and I would say they don't fit that description.
You're like the Picasso of painting the image of fat, yes, people in people's heads. Yep.
No, we can go fatter than
this. She can lose
obese.
A foot.
This is not what I was looking for in my head. Continue. That we're going to Van Gogh with a foot. But, I mean, we tried to check out a few restaurants, and we just said, oh, you know what, we're hungry. She wanted a coffee. We went to McDonald's. So we're sitting down at the table, and I guess they got some promotion thing going on with, like, you know, you peel the sticker and you can win something free or whatever.
Right.
And we're just chowing along, and some woman came walking by, and she's like staring at our tray for a couple seconds, not saying a word. Then she looks up and looks at us and is like, oh, you got no winners, huh? And we're kind of looking at her like, no, I mean, I think one of them was like a free frappe that I handed to Izzy, but all of it was like token stuff or whatever. And she just walked away, and she went over into the corner, and I thought it was a little weird, but I didn't blink an eye to it. But
yeah,
I don't know if this guy came up to us. He's probably in his 50s or something like that, and I guess he was like with her or something. But he starts talking to us, and he's got a little bit of an accent, and he's just chattering along, and I can't understand this guy. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of leaned forward to kind of show him, I don't understand what you're saying, or I can't hear you. And he came up just to tell me a joke. What gas station do bees go to the bathroom at?
BP.
And yeah, that was the answer.
Yeah.
And he goes, and then he walks away and he sits next to the first woman I told you about.
She had both feet.
It was
though.
One of those. Yeah. So I'm just. It was one of the most awkward moments where I'm almost like, I kind of wish I had a gun right now, because I'm a little
so
uneasy with that.
So there's a
situation.
Lot of ghouls basically roaming around.
I won't say ghouls at all. It's just one of those. In all essence, it was a friendly excursion, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know why this just occurred kind of situation. Like, this is one of those, it would never fly in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Like, you would just get your ass punched out in New Jersey.
I wonder if people just, like, roam around looking for winning. You know how people like will go to the track, like gambling, like addicts, and like look for tickets that people, you know, maybe missed and didn't cash in on, stuff like that. I wonder if like they hang around McDonald's and try to get that free shake.
Maybe. Monopoly's back at McDonald's, you know what that means. Get your good coat, baby.
Spending the weekend.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll cut off that foot later on, baby. You don't have that bad.
Do you remember when McDonald's used to have a courtesy cone? You used to just go in and then give you a little ice cream cone for free?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, me when we were kids, there was a McDonald's up the street from my parents' house, and we would ride our bikes all the time and stop in at McDonald's or whatever, and we'd get courtesy cones for free. We get that and like a water. That was our we don't stop in. I'm sure they loved us. And yeah, they would give you ice cream cone for free. And then we would also when we were when me and my buddy had it when we thought we were backyard wrestlers, we would go and sneak into the McDonald's ball pit that was outside. So there we are, like high eighth grade, and so we were big kids, you know, like, and we're sitting there and we'd wrestle in the ball pit and we'd get thrown out of there like like a good amount, man. Like we could probably get thrown out of there like 10-15 times, but we just like kept going back.
I somewhat remember a similar thing. I think I was probably in like sixth grade and we had like a field trip, and like the big thing is, all right, after the field trip we're going to McDonald's. And then, like, after everybody got their food, we all just decided to, like, run into, like, the playroom, whatever. And I kind of remember, like, they had, I don't know what to describe it. I guess it's almost like a playhouse of Mayor McCheese. And it was, like, very tight. And I remember some kid was getting halfway stuck going up it and whatever. And we had to help pull him out or something like that. Or it
so
was
he,
like,
so what you're saying is he's probably lost a foot by this point.
Yeah, he's probably... Wherever you are, I forget your name, but you're the one hopping around.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah.
But if I recall, yeah, we were actually in the playhouse thing, and then he got stuck, and then it was all like, all right, we got to push him out because we're not going to get stuck in this Mayor McCheese house.
Yeah, I think those are a thing of the past now. I think they're really like phasing out like the ball pits and playrooms. It's probably just like an insurance liability at this point. No one wants to deal with that.
I mean, some of them still have them.
They
like
do.
Some of them, they literally call it McDonald's with a playhouse. I remember where I used to live in New Egypt. There was one over in that area that had one. But I mean, anything that's fun where somebody says, you know, somebody can slip and sue, they're like, all right, get rid of it.
We're done with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder what ever happened to Mayor McCheese.
They got rid of all their characters. I mean, we still technically have Ronald McDonald as a mascot, but apparently all of the side characters, the Grimace, the Birdie, the Hamburglar,
yeah,
the Fry Kids, all of those are basically retired. And I mean, they still have the patent on them, but they just don't use them anymore.
There was Captain Crook. There was he was a pirate. There was the Happy Meal Gang. They were like
I remember that.
Yeah, the McNugget buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one that I don't remember. Uncle Old Grimacy.
I guess it's just like the father of Grimace.
Uncle Old Grimacy. I wonder if he was like around during St. Patrick's Day or something like that. He's green.
Oh, maybe he was like a green Grimace.
There was Cosmic MC, so Cosmic, like McDonald's. He's like some weird alien, and then apparently
was that the like the one with like the crescent moon head that was
he looks like he's
kind
stuck
of
in
played a... piano, if I recall, and he like it was like their whole thing about Mick at night or something like that.
I don't know. He looks like he's stuck in like a fishbowl kind of, and then there's apparently a dog called Sunday. So and Birdie, the early bird. So
I remember Birdie. Yeah, that was when they were getting breakfast going.
So the whole McDonald's on the world, you know, maybe one day we'll see them return, you know, if we're lucky.
I think we should suit them out as guests.
Try to get Mayor McCheese on the line.
Yeah. So what was your thoughts being Grimace? I mean, were you really friends with Ronald in your head?
Maybe if we interviewed all of them, we'd uncover all this, like, dark, like, drama, like, extortion things.
The true Hollywood story. The McFry Kids.
Birdie was a whore.
Oh, man. She was up early because she was doing speed all night.
And she was banging Uncle Old Grimace.
Yeah, they were doing weird stuff together, man. I mean, this is how furry started. All these people in their costumes. And then the ringlord, Ronald McDonald, he'd make sure we were in check, man. He's like, I need to make sure the money comes in under any circumstances. The Hamburglar got his legs broken when he couldn't pay for his $1.29 kids' meal.
Yes.
That's what happened.
Bro, let's get the hell out of here.
Sounds good.
I think it's time to go. Anything to promote?
I think they're coming back. Let's promote the Dumb Fellas podcast. A lot of our good friends, Garifo, Upper Car, Carney, Garifo, Carney. McDonald, sorry.
Garifo, Carney, Garifo. We know who your favorite Dumb Fellas are.
But the gang are coming back and doing some podcasts together. A lot of them have been our former guests. Check them out on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever your podcast forms are at. Look for Dumb Fellas.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to promote a show I'm doing that sounds kind of cool. It's going to be in North Caldwell at a place called Charlie's Place. It's supposedly like an old cathedral, and that's a charity event for a teachers union, so it should be pretty cool. So that'll be fun. So come on out. I believe tickets are $20. I'll put that information up on the Verbal Shenanigans page and whatnot. And I also wanted to promote the if you never – we had the drummer and the guitar player of Coheed and Cambria on about a year and a half ago or so. And they just released a new album that I think a lot of people should go check out. It's phenomenal. It's definitely their best in a long time. So go check out their new album. I guess that's it. Life is funny. Laugh at it. And keep the old the wind there at your back. And make sure you don't lose any of your limbs.
Yep. Go Skins.
Ugh.